All right. Okay, hello. Welcome, everyone. I hope you're all doing really well. It's bright and sunny and really beautiful in Charlotte today. I hope it's nice wherever you are. So we've got our clinic call for this month. And as a reminder, this is an opportunity for you to bring forward any question that you have about a particular client or a particular case study with a client, any maybe patterns that you've been seeing in your coaching, like, you know, with a couple of clients, you're getting stuck in a particular place, or not even getting stuck, but you feel like something could be going a little bit more smoothly, or it might be an inner piece around your coaching, a piece around confidence or not feeling excited or, you know, getting annoyed at clients or frustrated about processes or, you know, whatever it is. Or, you know, anything about enrollment conversations too, because there's so much coaching that does happen, or you need to at least be using your coaching skills in sales conversations, in enrollment conversations. And so you may have come to the call today with a particular question. If you have, great. But if not, just take a moment and think about it. Like, what is it that you would really like to receive from our time together today? What's something that you would like support with, inner or outer, with clients or prospects? What is it that you really want to get from our call? And we can also throw groups into the mix as well, if you've got something going on with a group program too. All right, so star two, what have you got? Carolyn.
Hey, Joanna, can you hear me?
I can.
Excellent. Hi.
Hi.
So I'm working with partners on a business that they've had for 20 years. They are pioneers in a particular type of coaching, and they're in this place of we're reinventing. We're figuring out what else can they be doing to exponentially expand their business and their position as thought leaders in that space. And it's really interesting because they run, even though they have like this really sticky brand, they run their practices separately. And so they do groups and they do individual coaching. It's for sleep coaching, just to be specific.
Okay.
And sleep training for kids.
Uh-huh.
And with parents. And and it's really interesting because we taught, like, they're charging the same fees that they were like 10 years ago. They've barely done anything to change. So that's like an obvious first step to increase profit, is to do that. And so one of them is like, yeah, I'm totally cool with raising my coaching prices, but not my group prices. And the other one says, I'll raise my group prices, but not my coaching prices. And they're like, it is the most bizarre dynamic. They're both lovely, but it is a really bizarre dynamic. And I'm just, part of me is like, do I just let them continue that way, where they're basically running, operating independently under the same label? And I think the one I'm most concerned about is the woman who really is having a hard time raising the individual coaching rate, because she has so much fear, because she says, well, I don't have a husband to I have to make money from this business. You know, she's saying to her partner, you don't have to, implying that. Mm-hmm. And so she just has a lot of fear around raising her rates. And so we've done a lot of logical things, and she's making some progress. I've only worked with them for a few weeks, but I'm having a really, it's interesting to try to figure out how to ease up that fear so that she will be less afraid to increase rates on the private coaching fees. So thoughts, questions.
Yeah, it's great. Let me, I wasn't sure if I got this piece clear. I just want to make sure I'm clear. So they have like a shared website, but you can choose mm-hmm. to work with one or the other, and you can choose to work privately or in group with one, and even the groups they're running separately as well.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
Even their referrals are coming in separately. So they have the banner of the company, but their referrals come, you know, one goes to Joe, one goes to, like, it's, they're coming to the individuals, not even someone coming to their website. It's so bizarre. We're working on it, but.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah. So I won't address that piece because it feels like you've got that piece covered. It definitely feels like there are some things going on there. And I'll just say for now on that, I have a feeling just from the little you've described, it's not just outer pieces going on in their partnership. There's some inner, it sounds like there's some inner pieces between the two of them too. But anyway, that aside, so when she said that she's scared, have you asked her what specifically she's scared of?
So what she says, I guess this is probably a surface answer, but she says, you know, because she does less with groups and more with private, she's afraid people are simply going to say no to higher prices because there's so much competition. 20 years ago when they started and pioneered this, you know, it was, you know, there was less competition, but she's really afraid of hearing no and not having the revenue and income. And I know that that's surface. But on the other hand, she also says she wants to earn more money because she wants to buy a house and she wants to do some other things, you know, with that. But the deeper answer to that, I guess I'm not sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so the next place to go then would be to work with the answer that she gave, right? So she's saying, you know, I'm scared to raise my rates because I'm scared that I'm going to be rejected if I raise the rates, right? So from there, first you need to validate her feelings, right? And to say, like, you know, I understand that. I get, like, almost every entrepreneur I've ever come across, myself included, if it's true for you, I know it's true for me, has, you know, some fear around raising their rates. So I totally get that. And it is also true, you know, it would be a lie if I were to tell you that when you raise your rates, the same exact type of clientele are all going to step into it, because that might shift a little bit too, right? So you do need to validate first when someone is in fear, and you just kind of like try to to go into it without validating all of their concerns, you know, they're just going to fight harder on it. So first put her at ease in the sense of, like, you totally get what she's talking about. It's reasonable. She's not being a crazy person for feeling these feelings or even thinking these things, right? Yep. And then from there, a little bit of creating awareness and saying, but just because the fear is there, and just because it's true that not all, you know, that the ideal client may shift a little bit, doesn't mean that you shouldn't raise your rates, because I've really heard you say that you want to buy a home, that you want to feel more secure financially.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, I would try to get permission to go in, and I'd say, would you be willing to take a little of a deeper look at the fear? I promise I'm not going to force you to, like, do anything new. You know, I'll make a joke, like, I promise I'm not going to, like, have you tattoo the new rates on your arm today. But would you just be willing to look a little bit more deeply, right? So then you've kind of, like, got her buy-in from you, and you've got the green light around it. And then from there, You're going to have to do some noodling around since it is, you know, pretty surface what she's given you. But I might start with, almost like a hypothetical, and maybe you've already done this with her. But I'd say, like, if the fear wasn't there, like, let's just put the fear in the side of the room for a moment. What do you desire for your rate to be? Not something totally inflated and not like your wildest dream rate, but if there was a next evolution to the rate, what would it be?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a feeling she would go for that?
Yeah, in fact, she has. I mean, okay. we're on kind of a compromise rate right now.
Okay, so that's good, right? Like, sometimes it has to be in baby steps. Mm-hmm. I've really found that for some people, and I've been like this in the past, like, I had to, especially with privates, there was a point where I had to, like, raise it. Every new client that came in, I had to raise it a little more, right, to just trust in it. So that might be just the route, but if you wanted to kind of like go in a little bit more direct, so you've got the compromise rate. Ask her to stretch a little bit more, and you can talk about stress, risk, or die, right? Tell her you don't want her to go into the die zone, that she'd rather die than charge that rate, but you want her to move like into a little stretch on the border of risk, right? So from where the compromise rate is, where is more of like that risk place for her.
Okay.
And then from there, what I would ask is, again, putting the fear that nobody will step in aside, when you connect into your value and the value that you provide your clients, is that number aligned with the value?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And have her, if you feel like you can do it, have it not just be an intellectual thing, but almost like have her go into her heart, you know, or put a hand on her. Like, can you really feel that your work is worth this amount? You know, have her really take it in, right? And then, again, you always have to see how a conversation goes. Like, if you sense that that's the place, and then you know that she's, like, kind of there, you can say, so would you be willing? Or if you feel like you need to go further, then the next place might be, so when in the past have you been scared that someone would reject you or leave you if you're stepping into your value?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, we've gone there a little bit. They have both have lots of family history stuff. Mm-hmm. So yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So that's, you know, that's where it would go. And this is actually great timing. Tomorrow and next week, I'm going to lay out step by step the befriend your fear process. And so you can then, like, that you can take that exploration deeper there. I can also help you use a law of adaptation if you don't want to do it in a visualization kind of way. But I'd help her get deeper into that, right? Because it's coming up in her business, but it's a pattern, right? And so if she can see it's her 3-year-old self, you know, that used to be scared with her mother if she would step into her power, this or this or that, that's now making this decision in her business. Just that awareness alone can put her over the edge, but then where you could go even further is, okay, however old she is, you know, what would your 50-year-old self say here?
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, if you get that buy-in, you can make it, I mean, we can't ever make anything risk-free, but you can make it low risk. You can say, would you be willing to experiment with this and not do it forever? You know, if it doesn't work, we can always go back to to where you are now.
Yeah. Okay.
And it might also be, Carolyn, you probably already thought about this, that the other piece she needs is some up-level tools for her sales conversations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think if you also then equip her with that concrete piece and hold a tighter container for her so she feels really held and say, as new prospects come in, let's connect in before the conversation. I want you to email me after the conversation. Like if she feels more held than there too, all the things I'm talking about together, I think might help. How does all that sound, or what?
It's perfect. Yes. We've got the up leveling the sales conversations slated for Thursday. And so, you know, all the rational stuff I'm very good at. I've gotten, you know, so that I'm not worried about. I think this piece about the helping her see the pattern and, you know, in the baby steps and all that, that's all good. But I think that just what you said about if she can see her three-year-old self with her mother and how it's affecting how she's making decisions in her business is a place I had not thought to go. And, you know, most of them claim they've cleaned up all that stuff from, you know, their childhood, but there's clearly
we all have more. Yeah, and then so then the other piece there, just to say with the three-year-old, is ask her what resources do you have now that your three-year-old didn't have? And what are the resources that you've already built into your business that are there for you no matter what? Because sometimes we think we're going to make a change and it's all going to fall apart. It's because we're forgetting how stable things are under the surface.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right? And then you take the fear and the three-year-old who didn't feel that stability under the surface, and it just creates a whole cluster, right? So if you can work those, and then also help her see all of the resources that are there and all of the stability that's already baked in to the business. I mean, they've been at it for 20 years. I'm sure there's a ton of stability there. I think all of that will help.
Yep. Good. Okay. Great. Thank you.
Yeah. You're welcome. Great. Next, star two. What can I help you with today? Inner pieces, outer pieces. All right, here we go. Nicole.
Hi, Joanna.
Hi.
Hi. Nice talking to you again.
I know. It's great to hear your voice.
Yeah. Well, my question is about a client I talked about recently in the Facebook group. We just started working together. We had one session, and just after her father passed away, and she's very tired. And I remember in the Facebook group talking about how to handle this. And Kelsey said I could reflect on some shadow parts, the one who takes care of herself because she's very tough to herself, the tough one. She's always being strong. And tomorrow I have a phone call with her. It's not a coaching session. I have this phone call to... Well, to reconnect again, to know how it's going, because we just had one session, and after that, I didn't hear from her. And normally, my clients email me, well, mostly weekly, some kind of accountability or reflection update about how it's going, and she didn't. So I'd like to reconnect with her, and she loved that. She said, oh, that's very nice to reconnect, and I just want to know how it goes. How is she? Because she mailed me that she was very tired, and I could totally understand that after a parent passes away, it costs a lot of energy. And my question is, it's not a coaching session, but what questions do you think might work? I don't want to push her, but it's, well, I'm not sure what questions I can ask. So I was wondering what questions might work to help her one step, well, maybe a little baby step further.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So first thing, just for you to know, like, it's a connection, but you still are the coach, right? Like, you're allowed.
Yeah,
you're
of course.
Right?
Yeah, of course.
And I mean, I yeah. always feel like even in my quote-unquote regular coaching sessions, I'm always there to connect deeply, right, and also coach. So
yeah,
don't,
of course.
Don't make that difference in your mind. I mean, obviously, it's not going to be a full-on coaching session and get it into all of it. But so, you know, first, obviously, just start with how are you, right? I know you know
yeah,
this.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, here.
I already figured that one out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and really, and listen, be open, you know, use your listening skills, because
mm-hmm.
you'll hear what's going, you know, like, you've been taking, I think, some really good guesses at what's going on for her.
Yeah.
But it's
yeah.
not until you really hear what's going on that you'll know. And, you know, you reflect back and, you know, just as she's talking, create connections for herself if you see connections, or acknowledge her. You know, just all of those pieces of helping her feel seen and heard, and even just a little bit helping her process her experience too, I think that will be really
mm-hmm.
valuable, and not in a deep way or in a elongated way, but again, just any connections that you see or any reflecting that she needs back.
Mm-hmm.
And then
mm-hmm.
from there, you'll see where her energy is.
Yeah.
But I feel like 99% you can ask this question, because depending on wherever her energy is, this question I think will still be valid. You can say, you know, I know that this is such a big time for you right now. I know that you're taking things more slowly, which makes perfect sense. Of course
mm-hmm.
you are. You know, and I'm so happy to hold this space for you. And I know you're also not ready in this moment to set any big or grand goals for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But if you had a goal for the rest of this month, we have about half of the month left. If you had a goal from between now and May 1st, and it might be an outer goal related to your business, and if it is, that's fine, but it might just be an
mm-hmm.
inner goal. You know, it might be something on an inner level that you want for yourself, like more patience, or to take better care of yourself, or to, you know, slowly inch back into this, or whatever it is. You know, what is it that you, what is the intention that you would really like to set for
mm-hmm.
yourself between
mm-hmm.
now and the end
yeah.
of the month, right? So that will get like a little bit of that movement going.
Yeah.
And then the next question, you know, and then reflect back and, you know, this and that. And then based on how she answers and how she's doing, what you can, you know, you may, the next question may not be appropriate at all, or it might, just depending on where she's at. You can say, you know, I know that at least for the next few weeks, you're still in this very inner phase. My sense is, let's get a coaching call scheduled for sometime in May so that we know we have
mm-hmm.
that on the calendar.
Mm-hmm.
If she's really
yeah.
just in a very deep, deep place and not moving, that question wouldn't be appropriate. But, you know, you'll be able to read and see if it is.
Yeah.
And then
yeah,
I would,
that's
and
a
then
good
I
idea.
Would, and then from there, I would just say, like, I am here for you. Is there anything
mm-hmm.
that you need from me? You know.
Yeah.
So those are the questions that I would ask her.
Yeah.
How does all of that feel?
Yeah, feels good. Normally my coaching sessions are at my home, so I always see them live, and I can always sense, I can see how they look and how they are distracted with their eyes or anything. And now it's by phone, so that's something different for me. That's why I said it's not actually a coaching session, but
yeah,
I think
it.
Actually it is.
Yeah.
It is. Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, of course. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And
good.
Yeah, and what you'll see with the phone is that sometimes you can actually hear even better when you're on the phone
yeah.
than when you're in person.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Okay. I think it'll work. Yeah, and I think these are great questions. And just reflect back. I don't have to think it over.
Nope.
That's,
nope.
I think for me, it's very important. Not to think it over, just listen. Yeah.
Yeah. The biggest piece here is for her to be seen and heard by you,
mm-hmm.
for her to feel connected by, you know, to you, and for her to know that you're holding the container for her.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Good.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
All right. Kelsey.
Hi, Joanna.
Hi.
So I have a couple of questions. I'll just do one, and then if there's time at the end, I'll raise my hand again. I have a call. I have what I think is supposed to be my discovery session with a new client right after this call. And
okay.
I guess about a week and a half ago, we had the enrollment conversation, and it went really well, and she signed on. And then she, I guess it was yesterday morning, said, I can't pay in two payments and da-da-da, my finances are weird and da-da-da-da. So, you know, I know that that's the way you like to do it. And she sort of didn't cancel, but sort of was like, okay, so that's how it is. And I was like, okay. So I wrote her back and was like, you can totally go month to month. That's absolutely fine. Lots of people do that. Tried to sort of smooth it over. And I couldn't tell if that was her only, you know, if that was the only concern or if she was actually just trying to get out of it or whatever, like some fear had come up in the meantime. Then she wrote back and said, oh, my God, thank you so much. You know, my other fear is this. And I'll tell you about that fear in a minute. And then she still didn't say whether she was canceling. And so I was like leaving this 2-hour block in my day free, and I had someone else who wanted it. So eventually in the evening I called her and I said, I just couldn't tell. You know, I wrote her back and she didn't write back. And then I said, I just couldn't tell if you're actually saying you don't want to go forward or if you do. I'm just trying to find out if I should hold the space, if you want to have another conversation, if you want to have the discovery call, whatever. She eventually emailed and said, oh, my God, so sorry. My pup had surgery yesterday and I was away from my phone. And, yes, I want to move forward. And she sent the discovery forms late last night. And so – but I'm already feeling, like, all this resistance, clearly, right? The added piece of resistance that I'm feeling now that I thought I was going to be okay with, she is on mood stabilizers. I guess she's been diagnosed bipolar and depressed. Like, she's on all these too many drugs, and she's found that she wants to go holistic, which is the other reason she's found me for her mood disorder, for anxiety and depression. And I feel totally comfortable. I said in the intro in the call, you know, I'm not the one to get you off your meds. You have to be working with an MD on actually, you know, what the dosing is, and you have to be working with a doctor who is helping you go down, and then I can work with you on the holistic support and the coaching and the, you know, the supplements mm-hmm. and the acupuncture and all that other stuff. But now, so I felt totally comfortable with saying that, and she was like, yes, totally into it. And but now with just what's happened over the past 2 days, I'm getting cold feet. And I'm just almost wanting to talk about it because maybe there's something I'm not seeing.
Yeah. I'm so glad you're bringing it forward. It's so interesting because you're saying, like, you know, she has this resistance, obviously. And I have to tell you, from everything that you've described, I'm not really seeing resistance. She's been incredibly engaged. She didn't respond right away to you yesterday, but it sounds like she had a pet situation. But she's actually been very forthcoming. She's been responsive. She's, like, gone with the flow, but she just shared some of her concerns.
Yeah. Okay, so then maybe I'm reading into it.
I think so. I think you are. I mean, and I want to hear why you feel like it's resistance. But to me, she's been forthcoming. She really has responded, right? You know, resistance would be like she didn't respond or took a week or, you know, whatever. Or, yeah, you know, I don't know if I want to do the session tomorrow. But she's actually been totally engaged and like, yeah, I do want to do the session. And thanks for letting me go monthly and, you know, all of that. So
okay.
I'm wondering what's if there's something inside of you here.
So what I took as a good question, what I took as resistance was her first email where she didn't quite say I'm canceling, but she was like, I can't do that. I can't, you know, da da da. So there it is. It was sort of like,
I mean, to me, it doesn't feel like she ever had the intention of canceling. It seems like that's how she expresses herself.
Ah, that maybe I just read into that.
Yeah, I mean, again, I haven't seen the notes, but from the full picture that you've described, that's what it sounds like to me. Like, she's just very forthcoming, and, like, that's going to work for me.
Okay. I think maybe because of her coming off the meds and the pressure around that maybe I read into it a little bit more than if it was just a regular.
Yeah. Okay. So that's really good awareness. That's really important awareness, because what that says to me, tell me if I'm getting this right, is that I think on one level you feel really comfortable about her getting off the meds, and this is part of your expertise, knowing, you know, how to support her on the holistic end of things, but it feels like there's another part of you that isn't as comfortable with it.
Yes, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
I don't want to be the sole health practitioner. I mean, you know, I asked her mood disorder doesn't have anything to do with suicidal thoughts or anything, but, like, the worst thing ever is you help someone get off their meds and then they, like, kill themselves or something.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So what is it? I'm going to ask two questions at once, but I think it's okay. What is it that you need to know from her in order to feel more confident? And what is it that you need to know about yourself and the process that will help you feel more confident?
I guess what I need to know from her is that she is committed to the process and willing to do the work that, you know, the holistic self-management of anxiety and depression requires, you know, meditation and yoga and acupuncture and vitamins and all these things, and doing and showing up to coaching and looking at herself.
Mm-hmm.
So I need to know that she wants to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And that also she'll keep me posted on how it's going, like really keep me in the loop about her moods and how it's going.
Got
and
it.
Then for me...
Wait, hold on. And I think that before you go there, I think the other piece you need to know is that she is working with a medical professional as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly. And we agreed on that, but I need to hear it. And maybe even if she would feel comfortable...
For the two of you to connect.
Yes. Yeah. The doctor. Yeah.
Okay, beautiful. Good. And then what would you need to know for yourself about yourself or about the process to feel more confident?
What would I need to know about myself to feel more confident? I guess I just need to trust myself on this a little bit, that I do know how to do this, that I do have the tools, but also what's coming up for me from the boundaries work we did is even though this is someone who has more issues than say my typical client, I can't go into taking over responsibility because of that.
Yeah, and how
I can't
might
let
that
down my boundaries.
Express it? Like, if you were to take over responsibility, how would that show up or look for you with this client? What do you think?
You know, over checking in, over giving, either in time or sessions or, you know, something like that, undercharging, although we agreed on the rate, and it's not an undercharging as it is now unless I start to overgive.
Yeah.
I guess worrying too much, wanting the outcome to be a certain way, wanting her to be happier faster or, you know, thinner faster or whatever because she wants to also lose weight. I mean, there's multiple things. She's had bariatric surgery and years ago and lost a bunch of weight, but now it's crept back up. So there's a lot of layers here.
Okay, good. So let's now take this piece by piece. So in terms of the things that you need to know from her, that's going to be a really important part of the first session and really an important part of the beginning of the first session. so, you know, the way that I would approach it is, like, I'm so excited about beginning this work together. I love that you've already X, Y, and Z, like, whatever progress she's made or resources she has or brilliance or, you just, like, really make her feel good about the starting and let her know that you feel really good about it. And then from there, say, you know, and as I shared a little bit in our enrollment process, I know that you can do this, but here's what it's going to require, right? And I would name all the things that you named for us just a few minutes ago. And I would then ask her, you know, I know that, you know, I would say, like, I know that you're committed to this and that's why you've stepped in. And I just want to hear any other thoughts that you have around these commitments.
Okay.
So that way you can just really seal it in and you'll know for yourself, right, that she's in and she's committed to these things that you know are vital. And then if you want, you can even follow that up with, here's what I want you to know that I'm committing, that I'm committing to. Here's how I'm committed to you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How would all of that feel?
That would feel great. I need to get really clear on what I'm committing to, being there as her coach and acupuncturist and, providing holistic, tools and...
Yep, and let her know that you're also going to challenge her when she needs to be challenged and stretched, and you're going to be honest with her about when you feel like she's not showing up enough for the work, because you really want this to work for her. And say, like, it's not about being perfect. You don't have to be perfect. It's not about overwhelming yourself, but we've got big work to do.
Yeah.
Right, so that way that part of you, I think you'll feel so much more confident just really setting those agreements, like having those agreements together.
Yeah, and as you were talking, it just also reminded me that that I also want to be aware that if it doesn't feel right in this discovery call, that I don't have to say yes, right?
Exactly.
You know, I actually
if you feel
think
that
you
she's
should,
not mm-hmm. committed or not ready, yeah. That it will be the best for the both of you if you don't.
Right.
Just make sure that the fear filter isn't there for you, right? Which comes to the second piece about what you need to know about yourself, right? So you said you needed to trust that you know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And what I know of you, Kelsey, is that you wouldn't even consider taking this on if you didn't know what to do.
Right. Right. And it's a little bit of a stretch, but that's okay. That's what we do.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And you have resources, I'm guessing, tell me, have resources to call on if you need some help?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then in terms of the over-responsibility piece, like that's something that you and I, and, in this group, like on these calls, we might need to track a little bit if you take her on, and that's okay.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, I've been looking a lot at my boundaries recently because of this class that I'm teaching, and it's really, I thought I had, not them under control completely, but I'm surprised at the places where I don't, and I still do over-responsibility. And it's interesting. I think that's probably part of what's coming up here is that I know that can be my tendency, especially for, I'll just say air quotes here, the weakest, right? I take more responsibility for the people who need it most.
That's
the challenge.
So that's the other piece here then. I'm glad that you're bringing it up. I'm not going to say like she's not the weakest or anything like that.
Right.
Remember to see her in her strength. Remember to equalize the playing field. Remember how incredible she is and what her ability is. If you can't do that, then don't take her on as a client.
Absolutely. No, I can't. I mean, I just read her forms, and she's a professional skydiver and all these amazing, amazing things.
Yeah.
And so I can definitely be in that.
Yeah. Good. That will help, right? Because it's true. As soon as we do see somebody as weak, most of us, like some of us are repelled by it, but then others of us like want to go in and rescue, right? Those are like the two natural responses. So, but that's why it's important not to see our clients as weak. We can see their faults. We can see their gaps, but we really need to see their strengths along with it.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, and I guess I didn't actually mean the word weak as much as vulnerable because of her psychiatric conditions, right?
Got it.
More like has a, you know, something that she's working against more than most of my clients.
Yeah, no, I totally get that.
Yeah.
And see her in her, I know you're already there,
yeah.
But like, and see her in her strength there too.
Yeah. Perfect. So helpful. Thank you.
You are very welcome. All right. I know you said you had a second question. Let me get to other hands raised and I'll come back.
Yeah.
All right, I think this is Carolyn.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, hi.
Ah, hey, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. So I have three clients. The theme is kind of the same. They recognize their stuff. Like I have one, there's so much shame around her past. She goes, how do I get away from it? And so we were able to dig through it. But as she leaves and I give her homework to journal and whatever else, like, you know, I get a text later. I'm like, I don't know how I'm ever going to get out of this. How do I get out of this?
Mm-hmm.
So how do I help her?
Well, so first let's look at your energetics. So what happens for you internally when you get a text like that?
Like, oh, God, what's happening? What did I not do? I usually go to that place. But, okay,
mm-hmm.
So I have to step back. I don't respond right away because it's like, okay, I need to get my head straight and my energy straight before I can do that.
Exactly. So if that's the reaction, like, oh, my God, what did I do wrong? Right? We don't want to lead with that.
No.
So if you can be in your balanced place, what is the response to that? Like, first, just energetically, how do you want to think and feel when you get a text like that? What is the higher perspective for you as the coach?
The higher perspective would be to, one, I didn't do anything wrong.
Mm-hmm.
To the clients in process right now.
Mm.
And so she's in doubt of what we just went through.
So let's pause there. Oh, I'm getting this text from the client. She's a little bit frustrated. But I know this may actually be a good thing. This is just what happens when you're in process. One of the steps is you go into doubt.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Oh,
so if you could be in that space, then how would you want to respond to her? What would you want to how do you want to respond to the text? What do you want to write her, tell her?
So what I would say, and actually what I did say to her, is it feels like you're right in the middle of a shift, and that's actually, this is normal.
Yeah.
This is actually a normal thought process, feeling process. And then I just dug in a little bit more. How are we doing? She wanted to book another appointment. She's new. So I'm like, sure, we can definitely book another appointment. We can also book a phone call if you need a little support before the next appointment.
Awesome. Great. Sounds like you're right on track. Yeah,
okay.
I mean, the only thing I would, you know, I personally might add, but you may not want to, is like, we're working on big pieces here. The shift takes some time. But, baby steps, step by step.
Okay,
right? So energy
like
follows energy. If you're good with it, if you trust the process, if you're not triggered by her feeling overwhelmed or frustrated or hopeless, then she won't, right? Now, if this continues to come up of like, oh, it's just not going to work, I'm not right, then then it might be a resistance archetype of the victim. And you would want to follow the process for the victim there.
Okay. Cool.
How does that feel?
That would apply for the other two. That would definitely apply for the other two that's coming up. That's perfect.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Good. All right. I know Kelsey's got another question. I just want to see if anyone, I'm going to lower all the hands now. Anyone else have a question before I take Kelsey's second question? Star two. All right. Come back to you, Kelsey.
Okay, this is sort of a short and easy one, because even as I'm saying the question out in my head, I'm like, I think I know what you're going to say, but I have a client that's on month-to-month, three sessions, like she's out of her package for a while now, and so we just do month-to-month, and she gets three sessions a month, and I charge her a certain rate. Last month, she had her first session, and then her last two, her mom got sick, and her mom went to the hospital, and then... And so she canceled day of, like, same morning. And then the next one, same thing. Now something else happened, but it was related to her mom. And so when it came to the end of the month, I was like, well, let me get you in. I gave her one more at the beginning of this month, and then I charged her, instead of her full three, I actually gave her a discount because I was like, it's sickness, it's her mom, you know. It felt like the right thing to do. I didn't charge her, like, nothing for those two, but I didn't charge her for the whole three sessions. Then I met with her once at the beginning of April as one of hers for March. So I sort of met two times, and then I have three scheduled for April, because April's a long month. There's enough Mondays in April or whatever it was. So there was enough to get her an extra one and her three. So then yesterday, same thing, the morning of, and meanwhile, now her mom's been better and it, you know, went from pneumonia to a hip thing and whatever. But yesterday morning, and she's 3 hours ahead, she's in Minneapolis or Cleveland or someplace over there. She works one place, lives another. So then she emails, now today's the day my mom's coming home from the hospital. So I need to be there all day with her. Maybe we can get another time in this week. And then I wrote back, no problem. I do have times in your evening tonight, which would have been yesterday. I also have one time available on Wednesday afternoon. And I didn't hear back. In the meantime, so that would have been one thing. If she can take the Wednesday spot I have, or if she could have met last night, I would have. But now I'm like, it's still sickness. It's still her mom. But do I just keep not charging her? I feel like I'm bending my boundaries too much, but I also, it's still a sickness. It's still a real thing.
Yeah. Is there a reason why you go month to month as opposed to like a
signing
package?
Well, it's partially, I don't with everybody, but for her, she did a package so long ago that then I just started billing her monthly. Do you have a better idea?
So this is what can happen when you do month to month, is that you have X amount of sessions that you have to fit into the month, and then if you don't fit them in, what do? And you go over and try, you know, like the exact scenario that you're talking about is born out of month to month.
Right.
It might be a perfect moment to say to her, because you have so much going on right now, and you have been, having to reschedule last minute, and then, it's getting so complicated with sessions falling over to the next month. I'd love, what I think would work really well for you right now is for us to look at this in a four-month chunk.
Mm-hmm.
And you said she's getting three sessions a month?
Yeah.
So, you've got 12 sessions that you can use any time over the next 4 months.
Okay. Great. And then she gets those 12 sessions no matter what when they fall, and she has to use them within the 4 months.
Exactly. And then you might end up going a week over, maybe, or not, right? But then it's
right.
not this constant, like, all the time and every month. And then what I'd say is when she's done with that, I would actually try to get her into, like, a 6 or 12 months.
Right, right. Yeah, okay. So that's perfect. That's a perfect – that's exactly what I'll do next time I talk to her, because it doesn't seem like we're going to be able to get one in this week.
Yeah.
When someone's on a package like that, still, if they're canceling last minute, they should lose one of their sessions, though, right?
Yeah, depending on what your policy is.
Right.
So if it's 24 or 48 hours, right, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where
yeah.
you might say, like, my boundaries are a little bit questionable. But for me, if it's the first time or it happens very, very, very seldomly, like, you know, once a year, because I have, like, long-term clients and whatever, I'll let it go. If it happens more than once or continuously, that's when I don't let it go.
Okay, and you just take one off their package, but it's easier to do it when it's from a whole package.
Exactly, exactly.
Okay. All right, this makes sense. Very good, very good. I got it. Thanks.
Yeah, you're welcome. And I would just say, like, in general, of course there are situations here and there, but just from what I know about your business, and you're so established and you have such a regular practice, I don't really think you should be doing month to month at all.
Yeah. It's only with these last – it's only with these few that have been for so long that was sort
but
of –
But get over the fear.
Yeah.
It's better
yeah.
for them and their progress if you get them into longer packages. It's better for
and
everyone.
And then do you have them pay up front for the package?
I still have people pay monthly. Some people will pay in full. Some people will pay monthly. But the idea is that they're not paying for that month. We just happen to split their payments into monthly payments.
Got it. Got it. Got it. Got it. Got it. Perfect. Okay. That's
okay.
helpful. Very helpful. Thank you.
Good. You're welcome. We still have a few minutes left. Any other questions, either on coaching, enrollment conversations, and I'll just throw marketing in there. Since we have a few minutes, is anything that anyone needs from me? Joanna.
Hi, Joanna. I am in a situation, and I wanted some advice about how to do this in a clear and gracious way. And the situation is that this is the first time I'm offering an online group program. I've done this on the ground community. I've done workshops, and I've had a lot of private clients. And I decided to do, I'm embarrassed to say, I can't remember if I've talked about it in this group, but I decided to do a program called Attract 8 Clients in 8 Weeks with the 5 elements.
The 5 elements. Yeah, you have this. It's so awesome.
I'm sorry. So I've discussed this program and the enrollment difficulties of this.
No, you just told us about the idea.
Okay. So it's been – so the 5 elements – I mentioned that I've discovered, of course, that because our businesses are living systems, they have the 5 elements in them, and I've developed a system about how to help someone coach, I mean, how to coach someone on their business based on the 5 elements. But I don't have the book out yet. I have, I've written some about it, and I've coached premium clients with it and getting great results. But I've never done this as a group program, and it's coming out, it's starting on April 23rd for 8 weeks, actually 8.5 weeks, and I have 6 people who are enrolled, but 4 of them are premium clients who get it as a bonus. So I've had a number of possible conversations with people, and it's been things like, well, I think it's too expensive. It's not too expensive, but it depends on the person. But I'm wondering, because I want to have, I want to have case studies come out of this. And this is my beta test of doing it online. And now I'm getting way more places to speak. And I know I could fill it later on, but I don't want to change the date. And I want to just get people in now. So I want to offer scholarships to people who, you know, it was a stretch, even though it's $9.97. So these people, holistic practitioners, certain ones, it was a stretch. And I do have payment plans, but I'd rather have them in for $4.97 because it's the first time I'm doing it and fill it up stronger than not having as many people, because I also want case studies, or I want success
yeah,
story
test one
of
yeah.
the case studies from my book. Okay, that was kind of long.
No, not at all. But I got it. Oh, I got it. Okay. Yeah, it makes so much.
Okay.
It makes
so
a lot of sense.
Gracious way to go back to people and invite them to do it for less. I mean, I already have people who are doing it in payment plans, but it's still stretching them. And
So I think there's two questions here. One is, how do you go back? But the other thing is, for the two people that have signed on at the full rate, if it were me, you may not feel this way, but if it were me, I would not feel it. I wouldn't want to go back and tweak something for them as well.
Yes. Okay.
I'll just say, for those two people, I wouldn't necessarily lower the rate, but maybe give them a private session, like add, you know, let them know that you're shifting things up a little bit, and there are levels, and as part, you know, for them, and, you know, you're going to give them one extra session or two private sessions, like whatever feels right for you.
Okay.
Does that resonate for you? Because I do feel like there's something with them, too, there.
Absolutely. I do think that will be really great.
Okay.
And yes, absolutely.
All right. So that's what I would do with them. And then for the people that you want to go back to, you know, I would just do it individual outreach. And I would just say, you know, I've been thinking so much about you since we connected.
Mm-hmm.
I just really loved X, Y, and Z, you know, give them a compliment, what you loved about them, or we were inspired about something about their business or their vision or their resilience, you know, whatever they shared with you. And say, you know, I generally don't do this, but I feel so strongly that this program would benefit you so greatly because... A or B, like give them a reason why it's the perfect program for them, that I would love to offer it to you at a special scholarship rate of, you know, and let them know. And you can say, and then also say what the payment plan would be if it's, you know, they may not be able to do pay in full. And then say, you know, how does this land for you? And would it make sense for us to hop on the phone and talk about it? I would just love to have you in the program and support you to X, and X is whatever their vision is, whatever they want for their business.
Okay. That's a lovely way of saying it. Thank you.
Yeah. You're welcome.
Okay.
Keep me posted. Yeah, I have a feeling you'll get some takers there for sure.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
All right. We are exactly at time. Thank you so much, everybody. Loved all of the questions you brought forward. Such great stuff. Keep me in the loop. Keep us in the loop. If there's anything you need, please let me know, and I will talk to you soon. Bye.